Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk today. I'd also like to thank the organizers for putting me before the break and letting me talk through the break. So feel free to get up and leave whenever you're ready, but I'm going to take the next 30 minutes to talk about this. No, I'm just kidding. I'd obviously like to thank my co-authors for their contribution to this work. Really what I'm going to discuss today is kind of a little bit of a pilot scale. And really the reason we got into looking at this were some things that we were seeing in the field that we couldn't really explain. And so what I want to do is actually kind of get into how we fertilize corn in Arkansas, the way that we grow it, to help explain why we were seeing some of these effects and why we felt we wanted to go ahead and follow up with some of these studies. So a brief outline for my presentation. We'll just start with the background, kind of the methods and materials we use, results, conclusions, and where we see some of the future research going. So to give you an idea, you know, when we had $8 corn, everybody thought they could grow corn, and that was true in Arkansas as well. And so we saw a big increase in our corn acreage. You know, traditionally we're going to have somewhere around 200,000 hectares across the state, but in 2013 with prices and a lack of interest in cotton, we saw a pretty big increase in our corn acreage. You can see in 2014 we saw a big drop, but for many of our producers, especially on our lighter textured soils, our sandy soils, corn plays a pivotal role in their rotation. And as we continue to see cotton acreage decrease, corn is probably going to take the place of that acreage. You know, rice and soybean are the staples in our state, and corn kind of fits those niche areas and niche rotations. For Arkansas corn production, it is recommended that you irrigate for maximum production, and roughly 80% of our corn acreage is irrigated. The primary method that is used is furrow irrigation. You know, you ask a farmer what his yield goal is, and he always says maximum yield. And so the way that we set up our recommendations, they say we're shooting for 225 bushel. You know, if I can't make 225 bushel corn, I can't make any money. You got to realize we've got a lot greater operating expense in our corn production system due to that irrigation issue and the amount of money that we have to spend, you know, pumping and moving that water around. So to talk about our nitrogen rate recommendations, we typically recommend about 270 kilograms of N per hectare for our silt loam soils and about 340 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare for our clay soils. In Arkansas, urea is the most dominant form of nitrogen used, and that's really based on the analysis and the fact that rice is the dominant crop where we're using airplanes to apply the majority of our nitrogen fertilizer. For some producers that produce cotton, they do have and utilize some UAN, but it is not nearly as prevalent as urea. So this is a good picture just kind of highlighting V9, V10 corn in a furrow irrigated production system. And so what you can see here is we have these raised beds, and then we have this furrow through which the water flows. And so there's a significant portion of this top part of the bed that sometimes during the year never gets wet. And so in our small plot research trials, you know, we typically broadcast all of our nitrogen, which means that a portion of it, you know, is going to fall on the top of the bed and some of it is going to fall into the furrow. And one thing that we've noticed is, you know, earlier in the season, when you have smaller corn plants, you know, we're typically producing corn on anywhere from, you know, 91 to 97 centimeter beds, fairly wide. Early in the season, you get good broadcast across the top and the bottom of that furrow. But later in the season, as the corn plants get bigger, the majority of that is concentrated into that furrow region. But this broadcast application, you know, when we irrigate, we're really only irrigating the furrow portion of that bed. And so that means any fertilizer, right, that either doesn't hit the foliage of the corn, hits the ground on the top of this bed and can go underutilized, because it never gets incorporated into the soil. Some of the objectives of this research were to determine the foliar and root recovery of our N15 urea. We wanted to look at the influence of rate and fertilizer placement. And what we looked at was really mass of nitrogen recovered. And then we looked at fertilizer nitrogen recovery efficiency. So for our field study, we conducted it at the Arkansas Agricultural Experiment Station. This is not in our typical corn-producing region of Arkansas, but we did it here for ease of sampling and all those types of things. You can see the kind of factors that were put in place during this trial. We used 2.5 atom percent N15, and what we did was we applied the urea directly into the whorl, where the entire amount was placed in the whorl of one corn plant, and then we also took that same rate or mass of nitrogen and applied it to the base of the plant, directly surrounding it at the top of that bed. We had a 1 meter buffer between our plants, and following 11 days, we harvested the entire above ground biomass to determine fertilizer nitrogen recovery efficiency. The reason we picked 11 days was basically that was the window in which there was no rainfall. And so what we wanted to try to do was to mimic this situation where we apply fertilizer, we don't irrigate, and we don't get rainfall. You know, what is the nitrogen recovery efficiency during that time period where that fertilizer is essentially setting on the soil surface unincorporated? Just to give you an idea of the greenhouse trial, we used the same soil. We just put one corn plant per pot, same time frame, you know, same variety, same everything. So this is a picture of what our pelletized urea looked like inside the corn whorl. So we just picked, you know, our three different rates. We made sure that all of that fertilizer was put down into the corn whorl, and you can kind of see it there. And then this is kind of what it would look like on the soil surface. So you can see here, you know, these are small pelletized tablets, but you can imagine how dry the top of this bed is actually right around the base of that corn plant. Because even in some of our heavier textured soils, you don't get that wicking, you know, all the way up to the top of the bed that you would typically expect. And the greenhouse, this is just kind of a picture of what those corn plants look like. We analyzed the data in Jump Pro 11. It was essentially a 2x3 factorial arrangement where we had two nitrogen placement strategies and three nitrogen rates. This is the simple ANOVA of that. You can see there we had a significant interaction of our rate versus placement, and that was similar for both the field and the greenhouse trial. And this is just pretty simple data, but I think it kind of leads to some questions that we'll want to further investigate in Arkansas. And if you look here on the x-axis, we have our different nitrogen rate placement combinations, and on the y-axis we have our fertilizer nitrogen recovery efficiency basically as a percentage. And so you can see here when we applied our fertilizer to the soil, there were slight differences based on the rate. But still, we're not really recovering any of that nitrogen fertilizer. It's somewhere right around 1%. So regardless of rate, when we put it out on that dry bed on top of the soil surface, there was very little incorporation and very little utilization of that nitrogen fertilizer. However, when we place that same rate within the whorl of the corn plant, you can see that we got anywhere from just above 6 to around 7% of that nitrogen captured within an 11-day time frame. And when we saw this in the field, we really wanted to say, you know, what are kind of the mechanisms or some of the things that are contributing to that? And that's really why we followed up with the greenhouse trial. And so in the greenhouse trial, this graph is set up basically the same with our nitrogen rate by placement combinations along the x-axis and our nitrogen recovery along the y-axis. And you can see here, this tells a much different story. So when we used the same approach and we incorporated the urea with water in the greenhouse, we did increase the efficiency of uptake of our fertilizer nitrogen. However, we also significantly increased the nitrogen uptake of what we placed in the whorl of the corn plant. And so, you know, there are several factors that could be going on here, and I'm not going to claim to be a physiologist that understands the mechanisms behind foliar absorption of urea nitrogen in corn, but I think what it tells us is, at least in our production system, you know, there's the opportunity for some of this nitrogen to be taken up and utilized by the corn plant in times of low rainfall or when we can't irrigate, and actually carry that corn plant for a significant amount of time until either that rainfall comes or we are able to irrigate. So basically, just to give a few kind of overviews of what we felt like we saw in this study, in a short time span, foliar uptake of nitrogen can be quite significant. It can influence nitrogen response in absence of rain or irrigation events. And obviously, without rainfall, uptake of nitrogen on top of the beds is very low. And so it's something that we saw, and now we can kind of put some hard evidence to. When we talk about the greenhouse part of this study, you know, it's really under controlled conditions. And so under controlled conditions, we more than doubled what we took up from the whorl. And so some of that could be attributed to just the environmental conditions. You know, when you're out in the field, you're obviously going to get higher volatilization potentials and those types of things, which is probably going to exacerbate the ammonia loss from that furrow. But, you know, that I think what it tells us is we can put quite a bit of nitrogen on a small area of a corn leaf and get pretty high nitrogen uptake rates in fairly short amount of time. And so that's pretty interesting, at least from a foliar feeding type of standpoint. In the greenhouse study, foliar uptake exceeded soil uptake in the 11-day time frame, and it was roughly twice that rate. As far as our further investigation with this type of work, you know, we're really interested in looking at its influence on grain yield and profitability, and, you know, potentially other sources other than urea, how those are taken up, and how it's influencing corn production. As far as my acknowledgments go, I'd like to thank the Arkansas Corn and Grain Sorghum Promotion Board, the University of Arkansas Division of Agriculture, my co-authors, the Soil Fertility Crew, and graduate students who help with all the work that we do. And I'd like to take any questions that you might have. Okay, so the question was how our results might have changed with the inclusion of a urease inhibitor on the urea. I think there would be a significant effect. I'm not sure if I could tell you what it is. I think that would go back to what forms of nitrogen are being absorbed by the foliage. You know, there's stuff out there that says urea can move across the cuticle, and there's a lot of work that says ammonia is absorbed through the stomata. And so it really goes back to how is that corn plant assimilating that nitrogen. And so if it's urea is the dominant kind of uptake mechanism, then the urease inhibitor, you know, might actually improve the uptake efficiency. Whereas if ammonia absorption through the leaves is the dominant form, then obviously it's probably going to reduce it. So the question was in regards to how we do our N15. We actually purchase it from Sigma Aldrich at the given atom percent level that we are shooting for in our experiments. So they send us a product that is labeled at 2.5 atom percent. So the question was about the damage to leaves. We saw a significant band of damage where that urea set in that whorl, which also could have potentially limited the continued uptake of that urea. I guess, you know, part of why I think this is so novel is the mass of nitrogen that was taken up from such a small, you know, availability or access point. You know, that's a great question, and I've got some grad students that can probably count some fertilizer prills, and we may give that a try, but I think it goes back to growth stage. You know, once we get those middles covered, then you're going to get a lot more in the world, whereas, you know, up to V4, V6, I think a lot's going to go on the ground.
Make sure the leaves are dry. For one thing, so the fertilizer doesn't stick to the leaves,
Well, I think in the long run, we want to try to get it on the soil. Because I think anything that sticks to the leaf, you know, we can get some uptake, but it's, I don't think in the long run we're going to get as much as we do from the soil, especially in our large, large corn plants. So the question was, you know, we harvested the whole plant. Where did the remainder of the nitrogen go? I think that's probably one of the possible situations. The second one would be it remained there and we washed it off before our analysis. So the two loss mechanisms from the whirl application could have been ammonia volatilization, or it was there and not taken up and we washed it off before we dried and ground the plant samples.
Okay, let's give Trent a hand. Good job.